Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, Los Angeles. Good morning, Southern California. Good morning, the United States. As you know, yesterday, our hero Muhammad Ali passed away. The media says it's respiratory illness, complications of Parkinson's disease. He was my hero, one of my heroes. I'm sure many of you share the sentiment. Today's show, my tribute to Muhammad Ali, how I wished I could have helped Muhammad Ali, the dangers of head trauma. No news to many of you that followed his prolific life was the fact that at some point along the way, he started to show signs of, well, what I guess we could call pugilistic damage, damage to the brain. They called it Parkinson's, but sometimes it's just a general word for a certain part of the brain get damaged, but who knows, along with many other parts. And as we mourn him and celebrate him more than anything else, I want to point out today, as it's relevant today's show, that all of us can relate on so many levels to head trauma, and we don't realize that. And that's what I want to devote the show to today, because our hero suffered, and I think he suffered, well, in a way unnecessarily. Young boxers today, all the guys that fight in MMA, they look at the older fighters as many of them. I mean, if you look at what happened ultimately to Joe Frazier, to Kenny Norton, to Jerry Quarry, to so many of the fighters from the 60s and the 70s that took so much trauma to the head. Many of these guys, by the time they were 40, 50 years old, were really, really suffering. And the younger fighters know this, but I don't really see them approaching their field that much more differently. More important to you is the fact that all of us suffer from head trauma, and we don't know that. Nor do these young fighters. Because we're not given the framework through which we can reference the damage that occurs when the upper cervical spine begins to get compressed. This is something, it would be my dream. I have my dreams. If my dreams come true someday, your average adolescent will be sensitized through training, just like we train as boxers, just like train as athletes, just like we train as gymnasts, so on and so forth, to reference these shifts that occur, that you can sensitize yourself to, that occur all the time in that upper cervical spine area, and begin to alter in some way brain function, to be able to catch this early, to understand the dynamics of this. Well, that's one of my dreams. And I'm always putting shows on. I'm always doing shows and talking about anterior head carriage. And if you look at a young man at 20, and you look at a young man at 30, and you look at a young man at 40, and a young man at 50, and a young man at 60, and a young man at 70, and you watch him from the side, you watch that head come forward. There are these postural shifts that we just take for granted in American culture, in world culture. That's what happens as you get older. You start slouching at the shoulders, and your head comes forward. But if you really understand anatomically what's going on, then you understand that there is a snuffing out, there is a compression of the brainstem that occurs as that head goes forward. And it begs the question then, the essential question, when you talk about damage to the brain from what you think is brain trauma, how much of that is embellished, facilitated, perhaps more of it even caused by the fact that as you train in an athletic profession, or as you just age at the desk, that every year that head's going a little further. And then to add that to the danger of head trauma, now you're creating the perfect storm. To put it just on the back of punches to the head is not fair. The child born in utero with the cord around its neck gets birthed, usually as an emergency cesarean, gets birthed with head trauma. The child that's born breech. The child that simply stays in the canal too long, that gets its head stuck on the pubic bone. The child that's experiencing the grief or anxiety of the mother, if in fact she just states through, for whatever reason, a traumatic 9 months instead of a holy, sacred, celebrated, safe, secure, and gentle 9 months. That child receives that trauma. That child constricts its head. It brings its shoulders to its ears and its heads forward. And sometimes forever, it's imprinted with an anxiety pattern that crushes the upper cervical spine. But Ali didn't start that way, certainly not. I want to do something with you slightly uncharacteristic. I want you to go to the website. I hope many of you are on the website. That's straighttalk.cc. Of course, many of you are driving, mowing your lawns. You can't get to the website. Get there later. I want you to look at this. That's straighttalk.cc. We're going to take a couple of minutes, and I want you to watch this video. This is all over YouTube. Muhammad Ali, amazing hand speed. It goes to a great soundtrack by Infinity, Double X it's called. And you just got to watch this. And I put it on the show not just to celebrate the life of Muhammad Ali, but also to show you what biomechanics, what excellent, what superb biomechanics really means. When I talk, and many of you hear me talk consistently about this muscle, the psoas muscle, and that when that muscle is competent and when that muscle's in balance, you're going to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. If you go down to picture number 7, and you take a look at picture number 7, on the left is the old man. That's the boxer, the fighter, when he retires and he can't move his legs anymore. On the right, that's what you're about to see. Those blocks, picture 7, on my website, on the show today. How I wish I could have helped Muhammad Ali. Picture number 7, that picture on the right, you're about to see someone move when his bones stack up like the picture on the right. And when you can't walk and when you start feeling like you're going to trip over your own feet and when every step of the way is painful, it's because you have degenerated into the picture on the left. That's when your biomechanics are so faulty that all the force vectors, the lines of force through the bones, are going through such inappropriate angles that it inflames the joints, and you feel that. How I wish I could have helped Muhammad Ali is to take him as a 20-year-old and to make sure that these degenerations never occurred. You know, not that he needs my help. And that isn't the point, but this is my hero. Maybe he's your hero. And that aside, all of us suffer from this, and we shouldn't. We just don't understand it. Why don't athletes understand this? They don't. No, they do not. By the time most fighters are 30, their legs are gone. Their legs are gone because they start out like those string of blocks on the right, and they end up like that string of blocks over the left. I'm a boxing guy, always have been. I follow that sport for 40 years. And you watch these guys as they age. It's not just boxers, it's everybody. Football players, baseball players, basketball players. But then again, it's you and me. It's grandpa who simply worked at the factory. We got to get these concepts down. Now watch what a man looks like when he's aligned. Let's click on the video right now. I'll talk periodically and just give yourself the 4 minutes. That's right. We're going to make this our tribute. 4 minutes of airtime to a great American. Just watch this man move. That's Fighting Liston. That's Sonny Liston. He's taking the championship. He wasn't supposed to beat Liston. He was cocky. He was young. He was expressive. He didn't bend over. And at that point, no one liked him. Now he's our hero. Back then, in the early sets, Zora Foley. He's fighting Zora. It's Henry Cooper. Cleveland Williams. Sonny Liston. Now look at him dance. See, they couldn't hit him. You could never hit Ali. His foot speed and his balance at all times was such that no matter what you did, he was gone. No matter who you were when you threw your punch, Ali was already out of it. And you're going to see at certain points as he moves across the ring, he does the Ali foot shuffle. He just gets so psyched. He was just like a young leopard. A young, beautiful leopard. He could slip. And then he'd throw these combinations of punches that came out of nowhere. And once you were under the rein of those hands, you were done. You were going to fall. I want you to get a sense of, as you watch him move, is his center of gravity. So that muscle, you're always listening to me taught about, the psoas. It's stretching and bending and moving. It's allowing his pelvis to stay in alignment with his upper body. So in any given moment, from no matter what angle he throws his punch, he's balanced. You see? That's what it is to be biomechanically aligned. And he stayed that way all the way until, well, he stood up against the Vietnam War. He resisted the draft. And as we all know, he spent 3 years in jail. Took the prime of his career away from him. But he stood up anyway. And in the end, he was vindicated. So we say he's bigger than boxing. That's why he's not just a boxer. He's a great man. Look at him. Just note the footwork and note the balance. Everybody that fights him is clumsy. But they don't have the biomechanical alignment, so they can't move like him. This is what dancers do. When you give dancers a pair of arms and a technique, well, then you have a boxer. That's the art of boxing. But it relies upon these principles that I continually talk about on this show. The psoas, the scalenes, the adductors, the hamstrings, the calves, the diaphragm, the scalenes. And there you have it. You watch this later on your own. Let's cut it now. Go off that. I've watched that 1,000 times. Now, I want you to go to picture number 5. Go to picture number 6. I want you to keep in mind the man you just saw, and I want you to look at picture number 6. Look at picture number 6. Now, there's Ali on the left, picture number 6. That's what you just saw. You just saw a guy with all the bricks stacked correctly. You just saw, well, you're looking at anterior head carriage. How heavy is your head? You're looking at picture number 6 right now. And what you're looking at in picture number 6, that guy on the left there, that's Ali. That's what you just saw. Now, I want you to look at the picture on the right. Look at the picture on the extreme right. You see, over the years, that's what happens to people. Now, I want you to look at picture number 1. You know, I kind of didn't want to put these pictures on, but you know what? He's just as beautiful. He's still just as beautiful in his own way. But look at picture 1 and think of his head. When I'm doing this for us, I'm asking you to consider where that head is now. You see?